Welcome to the Understanding Our Times broadcast, with bold and insightful discussion of current events in the light of a Christian worldview. We count it a privilege to bring you a variety of guests with thought-provoking analysis and commentary on a weekly basis. And now for today's show, here's your host, Kevin Thompson.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Understanding Our Times Internet Radio Podcast. We're so glad you can join us here for yet another week of broadcast excellence. Sorry, Rush Limbaugh, for stealing your phrase there. Well, this week we're finally going to talk about the presidential race. Now, we've already talked to, we've had one guest on the program, Mark Block, who is the chief of staff for Herman Cain. And we're glad to have him on. But this week we'll be talking about a different candidate, although I had the chance to meet Mr. Cain. We're still trying to get him on the program. Mark Block promised he'd be on here, and we're going to see if we can't make that happen. But another presidential candidate who, unfortunately, hasn't been making so much noise as Herman Cain has is Governor Gary Johnson. Governor Johnson is the former governor of New Mexico, very popular in his state even still today. He's kind of launching a long-shot bid for the GOP nomination. Of course, you know, me being a former long-shot bid candidate myself, I have to respect others who are doing likewise. But, of course, Gary Johnson isn't even in my range. The man was a former governor. He has some name recognition and some actual experience, not merely an empty suit like myself. However, he doesn't seem to be doing very well in the polls, and some of that is because he would be considered simply a moderate by today's standards in the party, and I don't think that's an inaccurate label. He is he is pro-abortion. He is he is not willing to jump on the bandwagon against homosexual marriage, things like that. We're going to talk about all of those issues, because as you know, I consider myself to be at least one issue voter. But in all reality, so what people call social issues is what I'm mainly concerned about. And of course, when I say social issues, you can read that as biblical issues. I am a Christian, and that's what I'm concerned about. I am a Christian who votes like a Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not going to vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion. Wow. Don't take that out of context, please. I will not vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion or pro-death. And unfortunately, Mr. Johnson fits that category. He is really no friend to, or not much of a friend, to social conservatives. And he recognizes that. In fact, we talk about that a little bit. I had the chance to meet Governor Johnson in person up in Iowa at a candidate forum I was able to attend, and I will say the governor was very generous in giving me some time, just a little bit of time there, just asked him one question, but I was invited to a blogger conference held by the governor. I was able to ask a couple more questions there, and we'll play some clips from that, but first I want to focus on the question I was able to ask him in person, not knowing I'd have any other chances to talk with him. So I basically shoved my video camera in his face and said, "Governor Johnson, can I ask you a question?" And maybe we'll even put that video on the website. But here's the audio of the question I asked for Governor Johnson. Just a little bit of a warning, this next clip is going to be loud, so you might want to prepare yourselves.
Governor, can I ask you a question for my podcast?
Yeah.
What is your appeal to Christian evangelicals?
Okay, so I warned you it was going to be loud, so I apologize for that. The next couple of clips, actually, you might have to boost up the volume a little bit to hear Governor Johnson. My voice My loud, booming voice will shine through, as always. So Governor Johnson gives an answer there that's a little, I don't know, a bit of a cliche. You get the idea that he's not necessarily familiar with Christianity, or at least personally, more of a liberal Christianity, do unto others. Not that that's liberal. Every Christian should do that, but normally when you hear a liberal or a we're talking theological liberal here, or somebody who's trying to placate a Christian, that's the language they would use that everyone can agree upon. So now I did get a chance to ask him to delve a little bit further into what he what his faith is like, because I think that's important to ask someone. So the next question I had to ask the governor, now this was in the blogger conference I was able to join, and again, I am so thankful that I received the invitation, and hopefully they give me an invitation back. I'm not sure if they will or not after this broadcast, but who knows. I hope to get the chance again. So I asked Governor Johnson, because in the GOP we have a lot of social conservatives, Bible bangers like myself, who lament the moral decline of our nation and the erosion of the Christian heritage handed down to us by the founding fathers, what appeal does he have? Because I asked the last question was, what appeal do you have to Christian evangelicals? And he kind of danced around a little bit here. But here he doesn't. He kind of gets into basically the fact that he doesn't really have an appeal to Christian evangelicals. So I'll let the governor speak for himself. This is a blogger conference, so you might have to turn it up a little bit to hear Governor Johnson, but I do think you can hear him. Governor, I think I'm probably establishing myself as the social conservative in the room, but I'm very thankful for the fact that you're willing to dialogue and to be open about these things. So I guess my question would be, being a person of faith myself, a lot of the people in the circles I travel with talk about our country as a Christian nation that has lost its way. We have a rich Christian heritage of a founding that we've departed from, and it seems as though a lot of them look for people of faith when casting their vote. So first off, I guess I would ask, are you a person of faith, and should that matter when casting a ballot?
Well, I believe in God. Do unto me, and I live my life by that notion. In that context, the other day I was asked about prayer in schools. When I ran for governor the first time, yes, I support prayer in the schools. I do. I just think that it's, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. Having been governor of New Mexico, what I came to understand that I didn't grasp so much beforehand is that there are a lot of people who are who don't believe in God, and because they don't believe in God, that we're not respecting their rights at all by the requirement that there be prayer in the schools. And I came to recognize that, and I came to recognize that it's not a small element. Now these are people that are good people. They don't believe in God. Maybe there are those that would believe that is not possible to have good and not believe in God. But I felt like I've come in contact with a lot of those people, and then back to this country and what this country was established on the basis of, which was, I think, was established on the basis of individuals from Europe being persecuted for their religious beliefs and coming here and being able to exercise those religious beliefs, including not having to register, if you will. So I guess I've just become a lot more tolerant of other people's beliefs, and that doesn't for a second take away from your beliefs and how you shouldn't be able to enjoy those beliefs and live those beliefs to their fullest.
So would you say you are for religious freedom for all, including those who prescribe to no particular religion?
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you, Governor, and I'd always say you're always welcome to come on my podcast anytime.
Great, thank you.
Now, that was actually the second question I got to ask Governor Johnson. The first question I asked him was about abortion, but I played this clip after that one because I thought the previous clip actually went along with the question I asked in Iowa. But I did want to ask him about abortion. How does somebody who is pro-choice win the nomination of a party that has a pro-life platform? It has the plank still in the platform. What's his plan concerning that? And how does he address folks like me who are the at least one issue voters? So I had the chance to ask him that, and here it is. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
We had a good chance to meet this past Saturday in Iowa at the Stronger America Now conference. And I think that your message was really well received. At least it seemed that way to me sitting in the audience. So the question I have, your economic message seems to have at least an audience in the GOP. But in a party known for its pro-life platform, how does a pro-choice candidate get the nomination?
Well, Kevin, all I have is my resume. That's all I have. And when I ran for governor of New Mexico, for those Republicans who held pro-life as their only position, which I think in the Republican Party, perhaps 20% of the Republican Party holds that as their number one position. I did not get any of those votes in the primary, but in the general election, I think I got all of those votes in the general election. So I don't know if nationally this isn't the same situation, that for those individuals that really hold life, pro-life as their number one position, I don't know if I get their vote. I don't think I get their vote in the primary, but I would hope in the general election that I would. My position on abortion is that I support a woman's right to choose. As governor of New Mexico, I did sign a bill banning late-term abortion. I've always favored parental notification. I've always favored counseling. I've always favored the notion that no public funds should be used for abortion because of just how many people find that to be abhorrent.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
So right there, Governor Johnson has lost my vote. In fact, he lost my vote a little while ago. But unfortunately, he doesn't really seem to care about the life issue. Innocent are going to be slaughtered, murdered, massacred, but the governor's just concerned about choices, or at the very most, he'll let the states decide. I think that's shameful. I think that's horrible, and yes, he has definitely lost my vote. But I did say at the beginning, as I have many times before, I am at least a one-issue voter. I think some of the other issues that I'm concerned about, of course, is marriage. And I have three kind of questions about that here. Now, these questions I did not ask. These are from other bloggers. And unfortunately, I don't have their names. Otherwise, I'd share them with you. I'm going to play for you the answers anyway. And this question had to do with homosexual marriage. Does the governor support homosexual marriage? I'll let the governor speak for himself.
I do believe this is a 50-state issue, although I also think, and I am not versed on this, but I'm open to the debate on is this gay marriage, gay unions, is this not on par with civil rights legislation, and I'm open to that discussion and that debate. Meaning, I'm holding the position that this is a 50-state issue, but I'm open to the notion that this is one of those constitutionally guaranteed issues that perhaps along the lines of civil rights that this gets addressed nationally. If this is a constitutional issue.
Speaking of constitutional issues, does calling for the government to get out of the marriage business mean you support the repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage on a federal level?
I think that's part of the whole discussion, and I have this credo with myself that that if you shoot from the hip, that about 95% of the time you're right when you shoot from the hip, and in this case, repealing the Defense of Marriage Act, shooting from the hip is something that should be done. I am not as versed on this as I should be, and so I'm leaving myself 5% wiggle room here on what may be the merits of a further discussion of this.
So, do you support repealing it or not? I'm sorry, I didn't. I mean, you said shoot from the hip.
Yeah. No, I think just my sense of it is that it should be repealed.
So, homosexual marriage, redefining an institution thousands of years old, is a constitutional guarantee. I'm sorry, Governor. There's no way. I don't know where in the Constitution. Please, tell me where in the Constitution does it say that two homosexuals can be married and pretend it's a marriage? Where in the Constitution do we get to decide a religious issue? No. And to say it's on par with civil rights, how offensive should that be to our African-American brothers and sisters who fought for centuries, decades, to gain their freedom, even from people who already said all men are created equal, to then look at this and say, well, this is on... That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, Governor. No. So, no on marriage, no on abortion. But what's interesting is, conservatives will say, well, if you legalize homosexual marriage, the next step is polygamy. Legalizing polygamy. And I think you already see that. You see the Sister Wives TV show and polygamy becoming a little more accepted, but that question was asked of Governor Johnson. And not only would Governor Johnson allow homosexual marriage, but he would allow multiple marriages or polygamy. And I'll let the governor speak for himself. Again, another blogger will be asking this question. I don't remember his name. Otherwise, I would give his blog and info. And if he happens to be listening, feel free to email me, kevin@understandingourtimes.com, and I'll put that on our website. But this is the governor asking, answering a question about polygamy, and I don't think you'll be happy with his answer. Yeah, well, here it is.
Back to churches, and I know that I think polygamy is an issue that is a state by state issue, and if I'm halfway guessing here that polygamy is against the law in 50 states.
There's a federal law against it as well, I think, as well.
I would have guessed that.
Are you in favor of overturning the federal legislation in these matters?
Well, I'm sorry, overturning what legislation?
I think I already actually asked that question earlier if I'm looking at my notes. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so... polygamy, again, we go back to it's a 50-state issue. And I understand that I don't think the federal government should be involved in marriage at all. In fact, I'm not even sure if the state government should be. But he does say, again, it's not something he would overturn any federal legislation. So this opens up the door to polygamy. So we have wrong on the abortion issue, wrong on homosexual marriage, wrong on... even polygamy. Again, this is why I am not a libertarian. Although fiscally and economically, I could probably go along with many many libertarian ideas, I can't go along with social libertarianism. And that's kind of what worries me with Ron Paul. At least Ron Paul is pro-life, having not only is he just a professing pro-life person, he's a practicing pro-life person. He has brought into this world many babies as a doctor, but has never aborted a single one. So I do appreciate that about Congressman Paul. But this does concern me about this libertarian streak, and even some third-party folks like our fellows in the Constitution Party, others, where the issue is a moral one. And, yeah. Well, anyway, you understand where I'm at there. And if you don't, you can feel free to email me, kevin@understandingourtimes.com. Okay, well, all of this question about family led the discussion in this blogger conference to the governor's family. What is his family situation? He doesn't seem to be married, so how does that... Where is he at family-wise? And again, this is not a judgmental issue. I'm not going to judge the man, whether he's married or not, or the circumstances of his previous marriage. But I did think it is interesting, and so I'll play the clip. This is where Governor Johnson explains his family situation.
Well, one of the perhaps the biggest casualty of my having been governor is that my wife Dee and I grew apart as a result of my being governor. It was just not a good thing. We grew further and further apart, and when I left office, we ended up divorcing. Soon after we divorced, she died from heart failure. Something that had been priorly completely undiagnosed, but that's what happened. That's been the worst thing that's happened to me in my life. 5 years ago, I met Kate Prusak. 3 years ago, she and I got together, and for over a year and a half now, we've been engaged to be married. And so I have, I'm in a wonderful relationship. I'm in love, and that's where that stands.
All right, so that's the governor situation, and you know, I'll report, you decide. For some people, the positions mentioned on this program, espoused by Governor Johnson, would thrill you. That's what you're looking for, and if that's you, then go ahead and cast your vote for Governor Johnson. Myself, I can't bring myself to do that. I don't know, quite frankly, who I'm voting for in the GOP section, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this flushes out. We'll see if Sarah Palin jumps in or if Governor Rick Perry jumps in, or we'll see who starts dropping out here. I'm sure before Iowa, we'll see. I have my predictions, but I won't say them. We'll see who drops out before Iowa or right after New Hampshire. We'll see how that plays out. One last question, one last answer, actually, from the governor. Governor Johnson was excluded from the CNN debate. That's the latest debate as of this broadcast. We were supposed to hear another debate out of Las Vegas, but they have pushed that out, hoping Governor Perry will throw his hat in. We'll see how that plays out again. But the last debate, last major debate, Governor Johnson was excluded. Now, he will be in the next debate, but here's his thoughts. Why was he excluded? Is this somehow the GOP trying to push him out? Well, I'll let the governor talk.
No, on the debate, I think, was CNN-driven entirely. My entire political career, which, by the way, I've run for two political offices, governor of New Mexico 1, governor of New Mexico getting reelected 2, I have been treated really well by the Republican Party. And by treated well, Republicans listen to what I have to say, and based on my experience, I think the majority of Republicans actually believe what I believe, and that is the notion of best government is the government that rules the least, and the best government is the government that creates a level playing field that you and I as individuals can best compete in, as opposed to government that picks winners and losers, whether that's business banking, whether that's foreign government. So I've been treated well by the Republican Party. I continue to be treated well by the Republican Party. This was a CNN issue, and no, I would not intend to run outside of the Republican Party if I do not get the nomination.
So Governor Johnson will not seek the Libertarian Party nomination should he not get the Republican nomination. Probably a wise move, but we'll see. Well, that's all the time we have for the broadcast this week, and thank you for joining us. We hope to have at least two more candidates on the broadcast. I'm hoping to have Judge Roy Moore. Judge Moore is also looking for the Republican nomination. And I've talked with someone on his campaign. He's willing to come on. We just have to schedule a time to do that. And believe me, I have the deepest respect for Judge Moore. And I am really hoping he comes on the broadcast. He's a hero of mine, somebody who is not receiving a lot of attention, but should be. This is one of those candidates where you need to consider, not because he has a shot, but because he should have a shot. So we'll talk to Judge Moore, hopefully. The other candidate is a Democrat. Yes, President Obama has opposition. And that is from, of all people, Randall Terry. Randall Terry is the founder of Operation Rescue. So his pro-life credentials are unquestioned. But to bring attention to his views on abortion, Randall Terry has thrown his hat as a Democrat, hoping to force some primary challenge to the president. And again, he's talking with his campaign manager, someone on his campaign. He's willing to come on the broadcast. We just had to set up a time to do that. So this is all we have for this week. We're a little short, but hey, sometimes that's good. Want to thank you again for joining us. Join us next week. We're going to have an interview with Chris Bronze. Pastor Chris Bronze is the pastor of the Red Brick Church in Stillman Valley, Illinois. And Pastor Bronze has a fascinating new book. I want you to go out and get it. It's called When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search. When the Word Leads Your Pastoral Search. We'll have a link up there next week about that. You got to get this book. If your church is looking for a pastor, or soon will be, this is the book you've got to get. Give it to your pastor. Give it, even if your church is fine, there's no sign of any change coming, buy this book. It's worth it. There's a good section there on how to evaluate preaching. You got to get this book. It's great. We're going to have Pastor Bronze in the program next week to talk about that book. So until then, have a great rest of your week.